Fasting is giving up carnal pleasures for a spiritual purpose. When we fast, we usually stop eating food for a little bit. What if we lived a fasted life, which means we gave up our carnal pleasures for a spiritual purpose most of the time, and not just for a spiritual purpose. It starts with the spirit, but the spirit then affects the body, which affects the mind, which affects your life. So then living a fasted life then becomes giving up some of the things that no longer serve you, so that way you can actually prosper in all aspects of your life. So living a fasted life is not about not having fun, but it's actually getting yourself closer to bliss. It's making the decisions that's gonna keep you more vital. So living a fasted life doesn't mean you don't get to live it up. Actually, it means that you get to live your best life. Most people associate living their best life with doing all the things that's getting them to their carnal selves. I say living your best life is being spiritually yoked, so that way you actually can really receive the fruits of the spirit. So keep tapping into this episode of Ed Talks Daily as I talk about living a fasted life. Let's get it. Shout out to everybody. Ed Talks Daily. Ed Talks Daily is a podcast. It's a holistic podcast on how to grow in all aspects of your life. How do you solidify a healthy mindset, a holistic one, that will lead to healthy body, healthy relationships, and in-tune spirit. So join me to this journey of becoming the best versions of ourselves. If you want a podcast that will motivate you, a podcast that will inspire you, all while educating you on ways to personally develop, Ed Talks Daily is for you. You can listen to podcasts on the go. Just go to edtalksdaily.com or open your favorite podcast app on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you listen to podcasts. This is one of the best podcasts out there. I'm going to be talking about living a fasted life. How many of y'all, you felt your best while fasting? Raise your hand. And if you're not able to raise your hand, tap the screen, double tap, leave a comment. Virtually raise it, or just say, I concur, I hear you. How many of y'all have literally felt the best when you fasted? How many of y'all have never fasted, but you went a point where you didn't eat, and you actually felt like you felt really good, right? Because you did fast. What if your entire life can be a fast? How many of y'all felt so great after letting some stuff go that you felt like you needed, but you found out you didn't need it because you let it go? And you felt so amazing, and you're like, man, this thing had its boot on my head. It had me hold down there. I've been there. I had a point in my life where weed was my thing, ganja. And when I stopped doing it, I was like, yo, I'm high on life. I'm high off of life. And then whenever I went back to it, I was like, yo, this is not it. But something in my mind thought it was it. Living a fasted life is when you realize that your best life is not on the other side of your vices. Your best life is on the other side of taking the advice. Somebody comment that in the chat. My best life is not on the other side of my vices. My best life is actually on the side of taking my advice. Now, a lot of people say, I'm living my best life when they go out and do everything against their life. They say, I'm living my best life when they go out and let everybody use and abuse their body. A lot of people say, I'm living my best life when they go out and eat trash food. And some people do think that they're living their best life. In fact, some people think they're living their best life so much that they don't want to hear what I'm saying. And that's okay, because I got a message, I got a word. A lot of us, we think our best life is on the other side of our demise. I'm letting you to know that the best life is on the other side of your fasted life. And your fasted life is a life where you're not stuck to actually your vices, and you're calling it, oh, I'm free. Most people say my indulgence is freedom, because they literally chain themselves with their lack of self-control. Okay, and I'm not talking about you. I'm just talking about most people. I'm talking about me at some point in my life. I'm not talking about you, you're just perfect. But most people say, at some point in their lives, have said, my indulgence is my freedom. So they do everything that they don't want to do, and they call it freedom, literally being enslaved by what they don't want to do. And in order to defend what they don't want to do, they identify with it so they never have to hold themselves accountable. They literally identify with it so they don't have to hold themselves accountable. And because they don't want to hold themselves accountable, they create an identity out of their trauma. Or they create an identity out of their coping. How many of y'all have been there? I've been there, right? I'm not trying to judge nobody here. I'm just trying to let you know there's some point in my life where I had said, that's just me. Why can't you accept me as me? When inside of me, I knew to myself I wasn't accepting myself. I was just creating something so that people can't touch this. Oh, you can't touch this. You can't say nothing about me because you're judging me, right? But in reality, I knew I was suffering. I'm not here to baby feed you something to make you feel good. I'm here to tell you the truth, and I'm here to give it to you bitter. Somebody says bitter is good for the heart. Absolutely good for the heart. My best life is not on the other side of my vices, but my best life is on the other side of taking the best advice. Most people are not willing to do so. Most people will run away from the truth. But here's what I'm about to tell you. I'm about to tell you that when you're able to conquer your addictive mind, you're going to be able to grab onto everything that God has in store for you. When you're able to conquer the identity you created out of your trauma, you're going to be able to grab onto all the blessings that God has in store for you. By conquering the stuff that you don't want to deal with, you're actually now going to dictate what you want to deal with. A lot of people are not necessarily doing what they want to do. They're doing what they've been doing because they've been stuck to doing it. And they don't realize that they're enslaved to something you've been doing that you don't want to do. And I'm here to remind you that you have the courage within you. You have the strength within you first to dismantle your identity with the stuff that's bringing scarcity in your life. You've identified so much with certain behaviors right now that is taking away your money, and you're stuck being broke because you're not being a good steward of your money because you're spending too much money on your vices. I've been there. And then, every single night you pray to God for more money, and God said, what about the money I gave you, son? What about the money I gave you, daughter? Have you taken care of that money? Have you been a good steward? I have been in my life where I asked God to be a millionaire, but then I would take my last $5 and spend it on a nickel bag. I have been at that point where I asked God to make me this person, but then I did the opposite of being that person. Do not go ask God for something and then slap it away with your behavior. That's disrespect. Have you been a good steward? There's one thing. What in the world?
Nickel bag. I have been at that point where I asked God to make me this person, but then I did the opposite of being that person. Do not go ask God for something and then slap it away with your behavior. That's disrespect. Have you been a good steward? There's one thing.
What in the world is going on? What in the world?
I have been at that point where I asked God to make me this person, but then I did the opposite of being that person. Go ask God for something and then slap it away with your behavior. That's just have you been a good steward?
Do not slap away God's blessing with your behavior, asking for more. That's a disrespect. What I mean by that is, a lot of us, we ask God for one thing, but we actually act in a different way. And I just want to remind you not to do that anymore. Okay? I'm going to give you the message raw like it is. Okay? Just like it is. Because here's the thing. Here's the thing, y'all. I wish people thought that I could judge them, because I can't judge you, right? Because every single thing that I be talking about is so real, because it's real to me. And the realness of it is, you're not really satisfied. You're so not satisfied that you're only doing things because of your unsatisfaction. And because you want to justify your unsatisfaction, you keep doing those things, so you're creating identity out of it. And once you disidentify with it through fasting, you got to now turn your life into a fasted life, where you now create a culture with your discipline. A disciplined culture that says, I am going to give up certain carnal pleasures for a spiritual purpose, because I know life is not a physical thing, it's spiritual. We are spiritual beings having a physical experience. And a lot of times we think that we need to stay so much in our body that we don't do things of the spirit, so we never get things that we can manifest in the world. Right. And we keep struggling our pain rather than benefiting from the gain of the spirit. And I'm letting you know that the more you're by the spirit and less by the body, the more you will actually be fulfilled. There are people who look happy but aren't happy. They actually put on a happy face, but inside of them, they got a sad heart. And I wish I could just come here and tell you things to put a happy face, but then let you go home with a sad heart. But I want to let you know that right now, sometimes you having a couple of too many shots a day, and you don't really want to have a couple shots a day. Actually, you wish you can go to sleep and just feel good, but you feel like you need the shot. And I'm letting you know that you only need a certain amount of period to realize that you don't need it. And there's something about the spirit that dwells inside of you and give you a courage to break the yokes of the things that you're stuck to once you allow yourself to free from them for a certain amount of period of time. And then once you free yourself from a certain amount of period of time and you keep that going, then you're going to grow. I'm telling you right now, if I came here giving some motivation, the 50 people that came on earlier would have been here the whole time. If I came on here and said that, yo, dude, but I'm telling you, the moment I start talking about living a fasted life, a lot of people don't want to hear this message, but it's the message you're going to need to hear. So if you're going to listen to this podcast, I want you to remember this. Your freedom is on the other side of understanding that it's not indulgence that makes you free. A lot of people says, I am sexually free. No, you are sexually bounded by your sin, and you need to free yourself from that. Some people say, I honor sexual freedom. So you let every stranger come inside of your body because you have sexual freedom. Because you walk in the slut walk, and you believe that that's your freedom. So you turn your sin into freedom. And you know you don't like how you at night. You don't. There's a part of you that don't like you, but you want to make it so. You want to justify it so much that you want to create an identity out of your pain, right? And some of y'all, it's some deeper rooted pain. Somebody took advantage of you they shouldn't have, and that person actually they deserve a couple of slaps from Jesus. They deserve some jail time. In fact, they deserve a wake-up call. Those people, if I could find them, I'd give them a few punches, right? If I could find them, I'd probably spit on them too, right? Somebody did something to you, and they shouldn't have done that. They're the scum of the earth. They got some evilness inside of them. In fact, I'd slap this out of them if I could. But what I'm letting you know right now is stop slapping yourself because somebody did something to you. Now you going out, you doing that to yourself. I know it's a little deep here. I know I'm just giving it to you raw. I'm just giving it to you bitter. I'm just giving it to you like it is, right? They did it to you then, so now you're doing it to yourself again because you're operating from a place of pain. And I'm trying to tell you that it does not benefit you to go and hurt yourself because they didn't take your dignity. They couldn't have. They tried to, but they failed at it. But if you give your dignity away because you thought they took it, then you're going to keep giving it away and you're going to keep perpetuating the pain. And I'm letting you know right now, when Jesus looks at you, he didn't look at you and says, oh, you're what happened. He said, no, you are what you are, and I am that I am. And because I am that I am, and you are what you are, and you are made in my image, don't let them define you. I want you to find your identity in me. And what I know about you is that you are my daughter. And listen, you are not dirty. You're not toxic. You're not unlovable. You're not unusable. And you're not a toy to be played with. At some point in your life, you got to understand, I am, you got to say to yourself, you got to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I am not a toy to be played with. So I'm not going to give people myself as a toy. Living a fasted life is when you stop operating just on the basis of morality, but on a basis of appreciating you as a being. It's when you appreciate yourself, when you honor your temple, you say, I'm going to live a fasted life. And it does not mean that you're perfect. What it means that is you strive for perfection. It does not mean that you're perfect. What it means that you at least seek to be righteous. It does not mean that you do everything right, but it means that you try to do the best things for you. A lot of people think that God is literally trying to put a judgment on you and limit your life. He's literally trying to protect you from all the chaos and pain that come from living a life that's astray. And it's not a question of good or bad. It's a question of the father wants what's best for the daughter. The father wants what's best for the son. The father just wants what's best for you. And you have let the people's judgment stop you from getting God's blessing because you don't see what God does for you as being a blessing. You're looking at it as a control mechanism, right? When your parents told you not to do something, they wasn't necessarily trying to control you, though it may have seemed like it is. They're actually trying to protect you, and you thought the protection was control. Now, you may have looked at them as hypocritical because they did the same thing that you about to do. And you're like, but you did that when you was up. Well, that's actually why I'm trying to help you and tell you not to do it. Right? So the same reason why your parents told you not to do certain things because they knew what was on the other side of it is that God, the Almighty God, knows what's on the other side of some of the sins you want to do. And what I'm letting you know right now is God is not telling you to not engage in gluttony because he doesn't have enough food and he wants you to save some food for other people. That's not what God told you not to be in gluttony. He literally said that because he knows you're going to wake up with high blood pressure, diabetes, inflammation. You're going to have cysts in your body, and you're going to end up having fibroids that you're dealing with. And he doesn't want you to deal with all of that pain because guess what? It's hard for him to make way of the spirit. But then the word says everything works for the good for those who love the Lord and trust in him. So even if you do go make the mistake, he's going to turn your thing. He's going to turn it around. He's going to flip it around. He's going to turn it over. Okay. Right. And he's going to turn something great into it. But guess what? You got to do what? You got to confess. You got to do what? You got to seek for redemption. You got to do what? You got to change your ways. You got to go and give up your sin. And that's what God does when he switches around, right? So God was looking at me smoking and doing all of this stuff. And he said, listen, I'm actually going to turn your disobedience into a testimony. And I'm going to help people through your story, one, and I'm going to elevate you with it. But even when you mess up, the Creator loves you so much that he says, welcome back home, son. And not only does he slay the fattest calf, but he utilizes your test as a testimony, and he actually puts it on a new coat. But you got to say, the way I've been living has not been serving myself the best purpose, has not been serving my family the best purpose, has not been serving the kingdom of God the best purpose, and then you got to change your ways because there's better for you. People think that God is trying to control you, but God is trying to free you. Your indulgence is not freedom. Your freedom is actually when you're no longer controlled by the puppeteer. The puppeteer of your habits. The puppeteer of your dopamine-seeking brain that says, let me get my next fix from my vice. Let me get my next fix from something that's not serving me. So what I'm telling you right now is there is freedom on the other side of being disciplined. And once you can practice discipline for a small period of time, you must then create a habit out of being disciplined. You must then create a habit out of living a fasted life. Living a fasted life is doing long enough something that shows you that there's better, and then keeping that better as a lifestyle. It's the way that you eat. It's the things you accept from yourself. It's the way that you think. It's the media you consume. It's the places that you go. It's what you accept from your relationships. All of this is all about living a fasted life. I am not trying to judge you. I'm trying to give you the keys to freedom, because I've been enslaved so much, holding the keys to my own freedom, hiding it away, afraid that somebody's going to find out that I have it, yet I'm still not using it. Have you ever been to a point where you know so much about how to free yourself? You know so much about how to get away from the indulgences of your life. You've gotten the keys to health. You've gotten the keys to mental health. You've gotten the keys to physical health. You've gotten the keys to your freedom. Yet you took it and you hid it away underneath the dirt of your resiliency to change. You took the keys of freedom and you hid it away out of the hardness of your heart. You hidden away in your side of your ego, trying to fight other people with the very thing that you need to free yourself from. So because you want to show them that you are not the boss of me, you have relinquished yourself being the boss of yourself. So now you give your freedom to your vices, and the devil's laughing at you. The devil is like, man, look at him. Look at him. They think you're so free. They think they're so free over there. Oh, you get to do what you want. But every night you don't rejoice yourself to sleep. You cry yourself to sleep, claiming you are free. And you know you're in pain, you know you're suffering, but yet you can't give it up because you feel like you're about to give yourself up. You ain't really giving yourself up. You're giving a part of yourself that was never really for yourself. You're not really giving yourself up. You're giving a part of self, a part of you that never served you to begin with. You're not giving yourself up. You're giving a part of you that's been hindering you from tapping into the best version of you, and you're not losing yourself, you're losing the dead weight. Look, there are some animals, in order for them to get a new skin, they gotta shed off that old new skin. But you know what the word says? The word says that you cannot pour new wine into old wineskins or it will burst. If you're gonna pour new wine, you're gonna need new wineskins. You gotta shed some skins if you're gonna get in that new wine. So you wanna get what the best of life have to offer, but you wanna keep the same wine skins. In order for you to get that new wine, baby, you gonna need to shed off the new wine, the old wine skins. And some of the stuff in your life right now that you think is the most beautiful part of you, you've only yet to see the most beautiful part of you. Look, what you're accustomed to is only what you've been used to. And what you've been used to have been using you. And the moment you let go of what you've been used to, you're going to tap into what was inside of you. And you're going to reveal the utmost beauty that you never found. The caterpillar who's not willing to go through the the caterpillar who's not willing to go into the cocoon to become a butterfly will never experience its true beauty and will never evolve to its full potential because it's not willing to go through its metamorphosis. And some of y'all right now, there's a calling for your metamorphosis, but you can't go through the metamorphosis if you're still loving, if you still want to crawl, if you're still loving the crawl. You're like, man, this is what I've always known. I love to crawl. You can't tell me crawling is my superpower. But don't you want to fly? Don't you want to fly? Don't you want the true beauty? Don't you want to fly like a butterfly? Right? Don't you want to soar? Right? Don't you want to really experience more? If you want to experience more and you want to fly, you got to go through that process. It's not that beautiful like you think. It feels like you're eating yourself up. It's gonna feel like you in the dark. It's gonna feel a little bit different. Sometimes in order for you to give up the addiction that's been you eating you up from the inside, you're gonna have to go through a little bit of withdrawal. It's gonna feel like you losing your mind. It's part of the process. But guess what? Which losing your mind is worse? The one where you feel as if, man, I can't go through it for a few days? Or the one that you feel as if, man, I can't go without it even for an hour? And you gotta do whatever it takes to get to that thing, or else you are so burdened. I'm letting you know right now there's a freedom on the other side, but sometimes you're gonna have to go through a little withdrawal period. You're gonna have to do some scratching. You're gonna have to be hungry for a little bit. You're gonna have to not wanna, you can't even eat. I can't even eat unless I do that. You're gonna have to grow through it. And I need you to find the courage. I need you to find something that's gonna help you. That's why when you fast, when you're detoxing, when you're taking herbs, when you're clearing out all these things, that's gonna be more effective. Look, go through a little bit of suffering now so you can free yourself from the pain of lifetime suffering. Listen, that money you spend on that six pack a day, that money you spend on the cigarettes every single week, that money could be spent for you to go in and see the world, for you to invest and live a life. I'm telling you, that money does add up. I'm telling you, a smoker spends hundreds of thousands of dollars in their lifetime. Some spend millions in their lifetime. And you can literally transform your life if you say, I'm going to make a decision to go through the process no matter how hard it's going to be. You're going to lose some people along the process too. But guess what? God got better people for you. He got better friends. Some of the people you thought was your friends was not your friends. They came because every time they came around you, you had a blunt for them to hit. You had a cigarette to pass to them. You had a beer right next to you. Some of the friends you met in that environment did not come for you. They came for what you gave them, right? Some of the companions you have right now that does not even care about you. They care about what they can get from you, right? They don't actually care of what's inside of you. They just care about when they get inside of you. And what I'm letting you know right now is they just trying to feel good from you, but they don't care if you feel good or not. So you're out here worried about people you're about to lose when you change your life, where they don't give nothing up. They don't care about you. And all it matters, and what I'm telling you right now is living a fasted life is finding out that you matter more than what other people want from you. You matter more. Your plug is using you more than you think you're using him. Your plug, I'm talking about the person you go cop from, right? The reason why they're giving you samples when you stop, it's not because they care about you, it's because they're trying to get you right back on there, right? They're calling you and texting you not because they care about you, checking on you. They're just checking on how much money you got in your pocket if you're on payday so they can get some of your money, right? And I'm telling you right now, save your money, right? Save your money, save your life. Find out another way. Find out another solution, because living a fasted life is not morality here, but it's freedom. I'm trying to save your soul so you can go to heaven. I definitely want you to go to heaven. Literally, I'm trying to help you save your soul so while you're on here, you can experience heaven here, baby. Because some of y'all, life is too hellish for you, right? Life is so unbearable. And you got to drown out yourself just to enjoy it. Why not get inside of the ocean of life, baby? Why not go for a swim? Why not relax? Why not chill? Why not go and just be laying down on the beach and just chilling and being okay with chilling? I'm just chilling. I'm just vibing. I don't need no liquor. I'm just chilling. I'm just vibing. I don't need to hit that. I'm just chilling. I'm just vibing. I don't need a dopamine hit. I'm just chilling, right? Why not that? Listen, if you never had that, you can get that. Somebody says, how do I develop the courage? How do I develop the ambition? How do I get the motivation? How do I actually finally get to make this happen? How does this work? What's the process? Listen, sometimes in life, God can do some stuff in our life that we can't do by ourselves. There were parts of my life where I tried to transform myself, but guess what I had to do? I had to say, God, please help me. I tried to do it alone so many times. And I say, God, I need you to help me. I need the courage. I need the strength. I need you to come and wash. I need you to help me. Help me, help me. Help me stay determined. Help me stay in alignment. So sometimes in life, I can give you some motivation. I can give you some fire. I can let the Spirit talk within me. I can give you that. But listen, the courage, the fire you're going to need, that strength, that inner strength, that soul resilience, that thing that's going to help you kick it up a notch, you're going to have to go to God for that. You're going to have to say a prayer to God. You literally going to have, you're going to have to break these strongholds, these yokes with the name of Jesus. You're going to have to pray to God. You're going to have to read your word. You're going to have to stay steadfast, because that's what worked for me, right? That's what helped me break some of those yokes. Some of you, you wish that you never had to grow through that, but God said you had to grow through that because I was about to use that. I literally had to use that. I literally had to use that to transform your life. I literally had to use that so you can help other people transform their lives. I literally had to use that. Listen, my message is stronger now because I'm stronger now. Listen, my message is more relatable now because I went through that. Right, I'm not here giving you something that I read from a self-help book. I tried to help myself so much that God help became my self-help. So now that's how I'm able to help you. Like God's help is not my self-help, because who created the self? It was God. And in the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And it is the Word of God that has helped me. So now I am able to help you more. So some of you, you're like, God, why did I have to go through that? Why couldn't you just build me hardwired this way to never go through that? He was like, man, I had to let you grow through that, not because I made you go through that, but because you went through it yourself. But I knew that in spite of it, I was going to use that to bless you. I was about to create something inside of you. I was about to create a desire inside of you to seek something better for yourself, because now you have now turned your vices into an advice that you give. You have now turned your struggle, you have not, into a standard that you live by. You have now turned something you could have slept, walked through and never noticed into something you say, I will no longer accept for my life. Sometimes in life, you got to go through something in your life where you say, I'm not going to live that. I'm not going to endure that. I'm not going to do that to myself, because you had to go through it that way. Sometimes in life, your standards and values come actually not from your great peak moments. It comes from your moments where you fell flat on your face. The moment where you are so shameful that you said, I'm going to live better. I'm going to do better. I'm going to be better, because I don't want that anymore. Sometimes great power comes from great pain. Great triumph come from great failure. Literally, there are parts of myself that I looked at, I say, listen, I don't ever want to see that part anymore. So guess what? Every single day, I keep fighting for my values. Every single day, I keep fighting for my standards. Every single day, I say, this is not how I want to be like. This is how I want to be like. And because I've been like this, I know I don't want to be like this, because I know what comes with this. So I can't be like that. And because I can't be like that, I'm going to fight to be this way. And some people never get there because they never see what's wrong with how they're living, because they never experience the pain of what they're coping with. They always create an identity out of their coping. So they think they're fighting for themselves, but they're fighting for their pain, and they're in pain and they don't even know it. That's why so many people smile their pain away, and they slight have an idea of they're in pain, but they don't know that they're in pain, because they never knew that there's better. And the reason why God is showing you that there's better is because he has better for you. Not only he has better for you, he's going to do better through you. He got something to reveal to you. He got people to empower through you. He got businesses to grow in spite of your pain. He got a message. He has strongholds that he's going to break through in your family. He has healing that he's going to do. And that healing only comes when you saw so much of the self-harm you did to yourself. When you look at yourself and you say, I've inflicted so much scars on myself, and you say, no longer will I inflict these scars, then you stop inflicting scars on your family. Sometimes we're subconsciously taking a knife and we're literally going around and we're literally scratching, we're literally hurting, we're literally slashing the people we love because we're slashing ourselves. We don't even know that we're doing it, but that's what happens when you're operating at a place of pain. A place of pain without knowing that you're going through the pain is so detrimental because you're trying to love with a knife. You're trying to love with a knife. You're using the life to love, and you're trying to use your intellect. You're trying to use your intellect, and your intellect sometimes is a knife. And it is the heart. It is the heart. And the heart does not work like a knife, baby. The heart does not work like a knife. And we don't go around slashing people with our hearts. A heart covers. A heart is like a blanket, right? The pericardium, which is the blanket of the heart. The pericardium is a blanket of the heart. And some of us, we're trying to use knives to use blanket situations. And blanket says, listen, I understand that you are cold. Let me cover you up with the unconditional love of God. Let me cover you up with the forgiveness of God. Let me cover you up. And some of you, you're not covering people up. You're trying to cover up your pain by slashing them up. Right. By attacking them with logic when you need to love on them with compassion. But you cannot give something that you don't give to yourself to other people. You can't give compassion to people you don't have compassion for yourself. You can't give compassion to people when you don't have compassion for yourself. And compassion comes from forgiveness. Compassion comes from understanding that there's something to be forgiven. There are so many people in their sin and they're calling it their freedom. And they do it not because they're bad people, but because they're trying to judge. They're trying to free themselves from judgment, from their shame, but they live in shame. And they're trying to free themselves from the shame that they're living in, creating identity out of it. So because they want to create identity out of it, they then now says, this is me. I get to be a hoe. No, I get to be one. I'ma just say it like it is. I'm a slut. I get to be one. No, I am sexually free. But you know you wanna go home to a husband, right? But you taking everybody else her man, but that's not your man's. Right? That's why when the woman came to the well and it was talking to Jesus and it was like she was like, oh, Jesus like, man, who you came from? Your husband? Just like he was like, nah, I don't have a husband. Just like you right, you don't. The last few ones wasn't yours either. Jesus didn't sip no tea, but I'm sure he was trying to sip some water. But Jesus was just like, oh yeah, but if you drink from my well, you so thirsty, you drinking from some everybody else's well. And you taking everybody else's water. You thirsty as hell. You going to everybody else's husband drinking from their well. But when you drink from my well, you ain't never going to thirst again, right? And while most people would not talk to this, in fact, they would stone this woman, Jesus let this woman, why? Come on now. Why? Because the unconditional love of Jesus says, I know what you've been doing. Don't come here trying to lie to me. Don't come here trying to pretend. But guess what? I don't judge you. I'm about to save you. But just make sure you, when you go back, don't forget this part. Make sure when you don't go back, you don't go back to that person's husband. Make sure when you go back, you don't go back to that person's man. Make sure when you go back, you don't do the same thing again. Make sure when you go back, you tell them what God did for you and you repent and you change your ways. And you think that God's trying to, listen, God's just trying to give you a husband. But you can't get a husband holding on to everybody else's man. And you're like, man, God, why am I so lonely? Oh God, why don't I feel so good about myself? Oh God, why is my hormones out of balance? Oh God, why am I building fibroids in my body? Because it's either you're with a man or you're getting over a man with a food. And you're like, man, God, I need you to heal that. And God is like, man, Jesus is like, man, if you just touch my robe and you trust me and you change your ways, that issue you've been having for 18 years is gonna go away like it never existed. If you just change your ways, if you just stop, you're like, God, I'm so depressed and anxious. Man, God, I don't know, I feel like I got stronghold demons on me, soul ties. But But if you stop tying your souls with all of these people, if you stop giving away your essence to all of these people, only then I can start to heal you. So yeah, you're reaching out for the robe, but you gotta go change your behavior. You gotta change your action. You gotta change the way that you're living, the way that you're eating, the way that you're thinking, the way that you're treating yourself, the way that you honor your temple or lack thereof. Because it is in the honoring of your temple that you honor God. It is in the honoring of your temple that you bring honor to the Creator. It is in the honoring of your temple that you bring vitality and health to that temple. A toxic temple will not be healthy because it's toxic. And the moment that you say, God, come inside of me, wash my heart, the moment you say, I need that strength to make the change, I need the strength to disidentify myself with the identity of scarcity, with the identity of sin, with the identity of the culture, your life is gonna change. Some of y'all, you letting the culture dominate your life so much when the culture don't give nothing about your life. The culture don't care about your life. The culture only care about clout. The culture only care about clout. It's all about clout. It's all about looking a certain way. You trying to look good in the eyes of people when they don't even care about you. Why don't you try to look good in the eyes of God? That's what I found out. I found out that I try to look good for people who don't even care, who just forsake me at the moment that I say something they don't like. They'll forget every single thing that you did. They forget all the times you were there for them. They forget all the words you gave to them. They'll forget all the texts, all the things you blessed them with. But the moment you say one thing, they forget that that you blessed them for free. I had people who they forgot they blessed them. The moment I told them something that was real, I ain't never seen their face again. And God told me, you see, that person came, they took. And the moment you gave them something that they needed to hear, the moment that you said something, or maybe you were actually wrong in a bad mood, they will forget every single right thing you ever did for them. And they're going to remember that one thing, and they're going to go around and slander your name. They're going to talk bad about you. They're going to try to turn everybody that was for you against you. And guess what? Some of them will turn with them. Why? Because people will forsake you. People will forget about you. People will forget all the things you added into their life. But they will remember the one thing you did, that one moment, that one time. But guess what that God will never do? God will look at all of the times that you did whatever. He was like, man, I'm going to leave the 99 and go for the one. I'm going to leave the 99 and go for the one. Listen, the one will leap. Listen, I'm going to leave the 99 and go for the one. That's why I rock with Jesus. That's why I be talking about God so much, because people will keep forsaking you. People will keep forgetting all the things you did for them and ask for nothing in return. Listen, I've had people, let me give you an example. I'm a healer, right? I've had people who I've been on the phone with for free over and over. I give you a free call. I'll be there for you. I let them in my program for free. I bless them for free. And then they showed up with bad internet. They showed up with a bad internet, and I spent an hour trying to help them do something. I'm like, yo, I know you paid me for this hour, but the hour is over. I'm not about to give you more an hour. So now that person said, I'm never going to mess with you again because my internet was messed up and I couldn't get the result I went. I'll be like, how about all the other free hours and the free stuff I gave you? So now you ain't never going to come back for this blessing because your internet messed up. You see that example? People will totally forget that you bless them without asking them for anything. And when they finally give you their little bit of money that means really nothing, they feel like you owe them the whole entire world. You need to stop everything you give and just say, here. But guess what? You know why I put a message out today? Not everybody's gonna be with you at your peak. Once you know who you are, baby, once you find your identity in something more powerful than other people's kudos on your life, you gonna do the work. Look, what's gonna be different? Look, the only difference that's gonna be between where you at right now and where you're at 5 years from now is that they're not gonna be there. You gonna be here doing what you were called to do. So I really be, look, I'm amazed when somebody think that you leaving, you not rocking with me no more, you not watching my stuff no more, you not liking or serving, or like, you think that's gonna affect me. I'm still gonna show up and bless people with my gift. I'm still gonna show up. You just not here. You just not getting this blessing. You just not getting this anointing. You just not getting this motivation. You gonna come, you gonna go talk bad to people about me. Oh, Ed did this, Ed did that. And I am amazed by the people who come around me, and you went through your struggle, you went through your depression, you went through your anxiety, and I spoke to you, I put life into your life, I was there for you. But the moment I go through my stuff, the moment I'm going through it, I didn't text you back, I didn't call you back, I didn't do something for you. Oh my goodness, this person is so bad. How about all the other, can I not go through something? Can I not go through it? Can I not be unresponsive? Can I not text you back? Do I owe you a text back? Do I owe you a call back? Do I owe you to be there for, do I need to be there? Am I God? I'm not God. Get away from me with that. Don't let anybody try to make you, first of all, I am not God. Don't expect me to, I don't need to be there for you if I can't be there for myself. So don't let nobody make you feel like they got a monopoly on your time. They got a monopoly. I don't care how much you pay me. You don't own me. Nobody's going to own me. I don't care how much money you give me. I don't care how much money you give me. You don't own me. You don't own my time. You don't own my energy. You don't own any aspect of my life. And I'm going to show up how I'm supposed to show up. And if I can't show up because I'm going through it, I'm going to give myself space. I'm going to give myself grace. And if I break bridges, so be it. Why? Because I don't focus on the people who stop walking along those bridges. I'm focusing on building my bridge. If I'm connected to God, if I'm a conduit, I'm going to keep doing what I came here to do. I'm going to keep blessing people with my gift. The people who are for you, no matter how many times you fall out, 77 times, they're going to be right next to you. That's how you recognize the real. The real 7 by 77 times, they're going to be right next to you. You know that's a, you know the real by real. Because they don't forsake you. The realest people I've met have been my parents, have been my mom, have been my dad. That's the realest of the realest of the all. And some of y'all, you out here not calling your mama, you out here not calling your father, you out here not honoring them because they're your little friends. I'm gonna say that again. You out here forsaking the people who gave birth to you because of your little friends. Your little friends doing this, doing that, right? And the ones they warned you about, you out here forsaking your entire family because you trying to take your blessing and go to your little friends and go spend it on the strippers. And then when you broke and got nothing, they ain't even, who is you? I don't even know you. But guess what? Guess who's gonna accept you when they go home? And I ain't speaking to all parents, by the way, because some of y'all parents, y'all some deadbeats. And y'all need some Jesus. Because I don't know how you do that to your kids. I'm just going to keep it real. Some of y'all need to fix y'all. Y'all need to go to Jesus. Y'all need to ask Jesus. Because if you can't take care of your seed, and some, I'm going to talk to the parents. If you can't take care of your seed and you asking God to put some, to bless you, God's like, bro, I gave you the first seed and you couldn't even take care of that. And you want me to do what? What you trying to build? What? You trying to help? How about this seed that actually came outside of you? Like you a father and you ain't even taking responsibility for that and you want me to do what? God's like, man, don't disrespect me like that, bruh. Like go talk to your son, bruh. What, you talking about shame? Oh yeah, you shameful. Oh, you talking about the mom. The mom's in the way. I don't care what you need to do. I don't care if you need to take that mom to court. Take that mom to court to see your son. And some of you mothers, right? I'm gonna talk to you. Look, most of them who need to hear are probably gonna exit out of it. I'm gonna say it raw. I'm not holding my tongue. I feel like I'm an old man now. I'm an old man in spirit. I'm not holding my tongue just like those old men be doing. I'm gonna be an old man. Some of y'all mothers, because you got a problem with your baby daddy, and you literally hurting your son because you don't like your baby daddy. You better grow up. You better grow up, and you talking trash to your son about your, and you messing up your son here. You think you being a good parent by turning your son against his father. Like, man, God gonna hold you accountable for that. Like, you better start doing some healing, because that ain't right. Because now you talking all that good game, and you want to look good. You talking about, yeah, I'm healing generational trauma. Nah, you not healing. You perpetuating it. You making that happen. You causing generational trauma. Because you so much in your feelings. You so much in your feelings. And you hurting your own kid, trying to protect your feelings about your baby daddy. When they trying to be in their life and they fighting for it. They fighting for their life here. And you trying to. And you trying to. And, or you the guy said, I'm going to give you the money to take care of my kid. But now you trying to put them on child support, put them in the system. Now you done send them to jail on some stuff, or they're going through it, and you got no compassion. You act like you ain't never been broke. You act like you ain't never went through something. So now you done messed up the guy's whole life when he trying to do his best. Oh, nah, he supposed to take responsibility. Don't you know that people go through stuff in life, and you can't give them a grace period? And you deadbeat dads too, who done turn around and making money, and you spend your money on strippers, on alcohol, on weed, because you're not living that fasted life. And your kid needs some shoes. Your kid needs some money to eat, and you ain't feeding them. It goes all ways, y'all. And we got to take responsibility to say, if I don't heal from my pain and my trauma, I'm going to keep a perpetuation that my words can't fix. Only my actions can. My words can't fix the perpetuation that my actions can. And you got to do some healing, because if you don't do some healing, you're going to be doing some hurting. If you keep doing identifying subconsciously and you defending your life with your ego, you're never going to grow out of into. You identify so much that you're trying to like, nah, I'm an independent black woman, man. I take care of my own kid. Bruh, you can't show your son how to be a man. I don't care how much of an independent woman you are. You can't show you. Only a man, by being a man, shows a son how to be a man. And some of y'all are like, ah, I don't know what that means. You can show your son how to be a respectful human being. You can show your son how to be a beautiful. You can show your son how to be. You can show your son all. But manhood is passed down from man to man. That's just what it is. And if you can't have a dad in your life, in the son's life, don't block them from having a father figure in their life, because you talk so much about guys and their father that they only see guys in this light. You get what I'm saying? I had to give that message to whoever who needed to hear it. Bruh, don't try to be so independent that you don't recognize that you need help. I'm just being real. Don't try to be so independent that you're not dependent on God. So living a fasted life is not just a mentality, it's a behavior. Living a fasted life is not just a mentality, it's a choice. It's a choice you're going to have to make. A choice to say, I'm going to give up my carnal pleasures for the spiritual purpose of living my best life. And my best life is not indulging in things that hurt me and calling it my identity. It is freeing myself from the things that is enslaving me and finding my identity in Christ. And once you find that, you will create something inside you that is more powerful than what you thought was power. You've turned your pain into power to protect your heart from pain. Now it's time to convert your pain into power by healing from it, and by covering the hearts of yourself, your heart, and other people's heart with compassion and unconditional love that sprouts from the forgiveness and inner workings that is done through intention, focus on your healing, and through God, Jesus Christ. That's my message, and I'm sticking to it. It's the Holistic Motivator. And I just want to invite everybody here to make the shift. I'm not here to judge you. I just want to give it to you like it is. It's one thing to feel good, but it's another thing when you feel hurt. Because when you let it go and you say, I need to make a change, that's when the change starts shifting. when you look at yourself and say, you know what, I could change that. I'm gonna change that. I've been a caterpillar. Let me be a butterfly. You know what? I've been inflicting that. I acknowledge it. Let me change it. And that's how you change it. If you want to listen to this podcast on the go, go to edtalksdaily.com and subscribe to this podcast. Once again, go to edtalksdaily.com and subscribe to the past podcast, or text EdTalk to 561-510-9605. And there, you can actually be added to my text messaging tribe. And when you get added to the text messaging tribe, you'll be able to get not only podcast episodes, but you'll be able to get some inspiring text messages. Once again, this is Ed Talks Daily, a holistic lifestyle and motivation. One of the best podcasts you can listen to grow in all aspects of your life. Once you love the podcast, make sure you leave a review for it. Don't just say thank you, give thank you. And I don't ask for money as much. I just ask for words of inspiration. Just go leave a review. That's going to spread the podcast. Go to edtalksdaily.com/reviews and leave a review. And if you're watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe. Like this video. Once you like and share this video, you also show your support. Comment below this video. Don't just watch it and leave. That's how you take and don't give. The law of reciprocity says, I'm gonna listen, but I'm gonna bless. Bless. Comment. It's that simple. That's my message, and I'm sticking to it. Peace.